Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's, I guess we can say that it's Mortal Kombat one day because holy cow, did you see that opening trailer for the newly announced Mortal Kombat 1? It seems like it's beautiful. A reboot. A lot of the characters are, they look the same, but they don't. There's a lot of stuff to get really into. You're going to see Mortal Kombat 11 here as play, and trust me, I'm going to get the comments. I'm not the greatest of Mortal Kombat players. I just love the story mode. I hate to say it. I don't play competitive, but that's what you're going to get. We're going to actually get a chance to watch the trailer. I have it locked and loaded. So nice. If you missed out on it, you can definitely check it out. But I am here today with the one and the only. I Still Reign from Living Split Screen. What's going on, brother? Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Boom. It is I, and I am him, the one and only Steel Rand. And man, it's an exciting time to be on, especially after that Mortal Kombat trailer that we just dropped. Just when I thought that Mortal Kombat couldn't improve any further, or it was going to be more similar of the same, especially on a fidelity standpoint. Man, is Ed Boon reaching deep in his bag once again. And again, I mean, for those who haven't played Mortal Kombat 11 story, the reason this is called the one is mainly a, and this is a light spoiler, Liu Kang's going to be leading this, right? It's his version of the timeline now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. I would have rather them drop the numbers, but hey, it is, that's me. But nonetheless, we had a lot of fire topics to get into, a couple for sure. But I think we're going to light people's minds on fire for these next 60 to 70 minutes here, bro.
Yeah, I think so. We're going to get into another topic that is taking the world by storm. IGN did an interview with the Take-Two CEO, Strauss Zelnick. He had some really interesting things to say about the ABK deal. And obviously we also got word that in the next 12 months or so we could in fact get Grand Theft Auto 6. I've said this before, I'm not a marketing manager. I don't have a marketing degree. I have a common sense degree that I got with A+. I'm hoping that one of the things that we know Microsoft, at least for the Xbox One and the Series console generations, they've pulled back from doing marketing deals on these big zeitgeist titles. We know that they didn't do it for Star Wars. They didn't do it for the remake of Knights of the Old Republic. They didn't do it for any of the Marvel stuff. We know that they didn't obviously do it for Hogwarts, which is another big one. I mean, everyone seems to think, because we don't know for sure, they have the Mortal Kombat, they have the Street Fighter 6, they have the Tekken 8. I mean, they are lapping it up left, right, and center. And Microsoft, as great as the Xbox is, and it is one of my favorite platforms, I understand that they're not trying to, quote-unquote, sell you the box. I understand that we can play anywhere as gamers, and that is fantastic. But you still want to sell consoles. I know that they do. And in order to move hardware outside of the first party that is going to be hitting, there is no doubt it is going to be hitting this year. I know, don't take Redfall as a starting point, because remember, Hi-Fi Rush was there before, and everyone was talking Game of the Year, holy cow, Xbox is back. And then they get Redfall.
From what I heard, Boom, it's not good enough.
There are some pundits out there that think that no matter what Microsoft does, it's not good enough. But I don't think that way. And you don't think that way. No. But we're also going to get into whether or not the importance. And I'm going to actually do a poll, because I really want to get the pulse of the community later on, whether or not you want to see Microsoft drop the bag at 2K, because quite frankly, they have an amazing relationship. And every time Strauss Zelnick talks about Xbox, he says valued partner. They're partners. Phil is good friends with him. I think that there's a chance. There is an actual chance that they may shock the world. Because, again, just imagine, folks, and imagine, Steel, that on June 11th, we're getting Starfield. I'm getting goosebumps, all right? So we're getting the Starfield showcase. We're finally going to get to see what that's about. You know, we're going to get a bunch of surprises. You know, we may get updates to Fable, Avowed, Indiana Jones. Maybe they drop a trailer for the next Wolfenstein. Maybe they let us know about the next Doom that is going to be exclusive. There is so much that that could potentially be there. I'm hyped now, and we're still a couple of weeks away. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? Could you just imagine, folks, the one last thing, right? We got one more thing for you, and Strauss Zelnick walks up on the Xbox stage, and he goes, I know everyone has been waiting for us to finally talk about the long in production Grand Theft Auto 6, and I'm here to show you the trailer. The freaking internet, folks, is going to snap. It's going to break, and whoever watches this, even the normies, even the casuals, are going to equate Grand Theft Auto with Xbox. The same way all those years ago when Peter Moore went like this and he rolled up his sleeve. Now, that's my old tattoo, but he rolls up his sleeve and it says Grand Theft Auto. The freaking world went crazy, right? That would happen again. But let's get into Mortal Kombat. You know, this we knew this was coming. They were,
he's been teasing it for a while.
He's been teasing it for some time. Mm-hmm. And this new trailer, man, it's a bit of a looker, it's juicy. For sure. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause this footage for a hot second because I obviously, for context, which, I want to let the fine folks here see the trailer that I saw, that you saw. And I'm going to put it up on the screen right now. I'm going to bring this up full screen. There you go, folks. Take a look. Here we go.
It is no. Okay.
Time to wake up to a new reality, to a blank canvas that I have painted in with warmth and peace. In my new era, the choice is yours. Whether to live in quiet serenity or bloody strife. To dwell in joyous prosperity or bitter rivalry. Can face each other as sworn enemies or united as brothers.
I'm sorry, that is so dope.
But a storm is brewing, and soon you will discover that even in this new era, one constant remains. There is always something worth fighting for.
Vicious, bro.
You have chosen to defy peace. Then you have chosen war with a god.
I'm not even a Liu Kang fan like that.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Mortal Kombat 1 trailer. Steel, I think we're both speechless at this point. That last fatality was redonkulous. I think that this is a brilliant way to, just if you look at the screen in front of you, it did not need a quote-unquote reboot because, I mean, it's an amazing game in its own right.
No.
I'm going to say that it is brilliant. It's risque, if you will, to then tell a new story from a new perspective and bring it all the way back to one. And it's shocking to me because what's on your screen is an older game. And the new trailer, and again, granted, you know, it's CG and everything, looks astoundingly good, dude.
I mean, we said the same thing about that Tekken trailer, although they did show gameplay in that as well, that a lot of people were questioning, like, I don't know if the game is going to look like that. But with this, you know, there's no telling. But you can't look at Mortal Kombat 11 and then look at what was just presented to you and then say, oh, well, they're going to regress some. The biggest thing about MK1 for me is that it is a continuation of a story. And that's something that I've always wanted Mortal Kombat to kind of really get back into, as far as like back in the days. I just remember like there was just such a coherent story from beat to beat to beat that you could really keep up with, no matter who you were. And to see, especially with the with how they ended this most recent one, mind you, I haven't played any of the DLC or anything like that, but based off this most recent one though, I think this is a perfect way to reinvigorate the franchise. Again, I don't necessarily agree with the numbering thing again. If this is going to be Liu Kang going back to try to correct things or to try to lead, for him to be the leader as he's always was quote unquote destined to be, as he was mentioned always by Raiden, then we'll see what ends up being presented. I do think that there's going to be some backhand things, that there might be some, maybe a little bit of evilness to Liu Kang, because in the name of peace and tranquility, you know, especially with that last bar, although it is Shang Tsung, he did that fatality too. There was just something really menacing about his presence, right? So there's no telling where this one's going to go. Again, Ed Boon, I wasn't necessarily expecting anything greater than what we've already gotten, and it looks like this is exactly going to be that. I am hoping, at least on a single player front, that they maybe go back to what Armageddon used to be, right, where you can traverse the world, fight people out in the world. Even Tekken did it back in the day, where you could just go out, run around, beat people up and have fun, versus, you know, maybe those key fights where you go against the named people. That's when you actually have that one-on-one combat, but outside of that, you're roaming around Shaolin monk style maybe, and just really taking in everything. But this is also a perfect way to reintroduce all your classic characters, bringing Rain back in, bringing Smoke back in, bringing making sure that you bring all the being a Kenshi back, you know, bringing all the classic characters back.
I like Blind Kenshi. He's a dope character.
He's so dope. So this is super hype. The trailer itself is nothing but a hand. It gives me a feeling inside. Again, Mortal Kombat is one of the few like 2D style games that I like. I always have picked Mortal Kombat over Street Fighter. And this recent trailer has just solidified to me, I'm not even going to invest my time in Street Fighter at all. It's going to be Mortal Kombat, Tekken, and then, you know, my Blaz Blues and Guilty Gears.
Yeah.
So looks dope.
I mean, listen, what could you say? They wanted to shock the world. We don't know who has the marketing rights because this is WB Games putting us out there for NetherRealm Studios. So we don't know whether or not some more footage is going to show up on the 24th at Sony's show, which was announced yesterday, confirmed that they're going to have their show. It's a little over an hour. Last night on Primetime Gaming, we kind of closed out the show with our expectations. Mag, obviously a middle-aged game guy, had a really, really hot take. Some of the stuff I kind of wonder whether or not he had some inside knowledge, because he was too spot on for me to, you know, just having a general conversation. So I don't know. But if what he says comes to fruition, it's going to be a killer show. There's just no doubt about it. And then, of course, that's on the 24th. And then 2 weeks later, a little over 2 weeks later. I said 11 days last night. It's not. It's actually more than that. It's like 17 days, give or take. But Microsoft has now Sony in front of them, where it used to be they went first. Sony pivoted on anything Microsoft made a mistake on, and usually it would be Sunday for Microsoft, Monday for Sony. and they would, you know, they would do what Sony does best. They would respond. They would pivot. We don't know what's going to be shown at Microsoft's event. We don't know whether or not they have marketing rights for Mortal Kombat. They did. I actually think that they did on the last one, if I'm not mistaken, or at least maybe the one before that. I know that they had marketing rights at one point for either 11, for 10 or 11. I'm not sure. I'd like to see them get. I'd like to see them spend some development dollars. You know, and obviously, you know, they have the money. Zeitgeist is I keep saying it, folks. I know you're going to get bored of me talking about it, but until they make these moves that correlate with the amazing indies, with the amazing third-party deals, with the amazing first-party games that we have no doubt are going to be delivered in 2023 and beyond, when you can sprinkle in a Mortal Kombat licensing deal where everywhere that's anywhere has Mortal Kombat and has the Xbox logo next to it, I'm not a marketing manager. See, I don't have no idea whether it's worth it to Microsoft. I know that there's been a lot of talk about Microsoft would rather just buy something. And that's all fine and good when you're not tied up for 18 plus months with an ABK deal worth $70 billion. Because what have we seen them miss out on? I don't know. Freaking Tomb Raider, man. They missed out on Lara Croft owning one of the most iconic female gaming icons ever, right? You can pick your favorite female character, and I can tell you right now, they have not been around as long or has put as much effort into the genre than Lara Croft. And they missed out on that. They missed out on Eidos Montreal. They missed out on Crystal Dynamics. These are two dynamic studios that were thrown away like garbage by Square Enix. And Microsoft could not make a move on them because of ABK. And that's why I want this ABK thing just to be done, because they can then move on smaller things like a Crystal Dynamics, like an Eidos Montreal, like an IO Interactive, like, you know, just take any studio they're working with and say, yeah, I'd like to see them add a Sobo to Microsoft Game Studios. That would be huge. But for you, Neil, because I know you have a thought and theory for Grand Theft Auto. We're going to get to that in the back end because I really want to get to some of the hot talk from yesterday. But
yeah,
where do you kind of fall with the importance of Mortal Kombat 1? It's a reboot. It's blowing up on the socials. Man, if you could attach Xbox to this, I think it'd be big.
No, it definitely would be big. The only problem is that Sony has become such a pronounced force in the fighting game scene, right? Especially for tournaments, especially on a professional level, right?
Yeah.
Now that can change, right? Because I do want to see Mortal Kombat actually input some rollback netcode, so that may be able to change some things and also give people an overall better experience no matter what platform. But because of the deals that Sony has currently cut, it'd be kind of crazy to think that they're not already behind the scenes in conversation or haven't been already chopping it up with PlayStation to see what they can get going, because again, they got to do what they can for competitive nature. Calvary did correct me. He said it does have rollback. Oh, okay. I experienced a lot of lag and connection issues in Mortal Kombat 11, but maybe it's just me, but regardless, it would definitely be a powerful force for Xbox to jump on this again, especially for this year being the year of the fighters. But with it being the year of the fighter, I do think that because Mortal Kombat, I could traditionally see being more so of a PlayStation recognized thing. I would like to see, and this next title I'm going to say has traditionally been the same, but I would definitely like to see Tekken probably get, Microsoft cut a deal to get Tekken into Xbox for some kind of marketing deal, just to appeal to a different audience, right? On one hand, I can see the Mortal Kombat because it is more gory, more upfront, but also I think Tekken plays more towards the family friendly in a lot of ways, because there's not a lot of blood, but there is that over-exaggeration of the combat. It's a 3D plane. It's easier. Most of the time, I would consider Tekken easier to be accessible to a lot of people, whereas Mortal Kombat can get kind of sweaty. especially when you get really get into it. But if they were able to jump into it, I think it would be a good move for them. I just, with the landscape being the way that it is right now, the tournament scene, the fighting game scene, it's just, there's so many cards that are playing into Sony's hand, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a good move for, if we miss it, if there's not an announcement come Sony showcase and there is one for Xbox come their showcase, I do think it's going to really spark some good conversation within the community and get some people moving in the right direction, right?
So. Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's something to be said about taking an IP like Mortal Kombat and getting marketing rights. And like I said, these things are expensive. And one of the things that keeps coming up, Steele, mm-hmm. I do want to grab your opinion before we move on to what's been going on with the Chancellor in the UK and of Strauss Zelnick's interview with IGN yesterday. There's a lot of talk about Microsoft having to pay sometimes double what Sony pays because they don't have the same exact install base. So you look at WB and they say, well, you know, Sony has all of these players. We're going to sell a gazillion copies if we partner with them. And Microsoft comes knocking and says, hey, listen, you know, we'd like to market this game. And they look over and they say, well, you know, we don't mind, but it's going to cost more because we think that we might lose some sales over on the PlayStation side. Do you think that there's any truth to that?
I don't know. Not I wouldn't put any real truth behind it personally.
Okay.
So that's kind of my perspective on it.
I mean, listen, it's fine. It's one of those deals that you're not sure, right. You know, if that actually happens. You know, again, it's like the Loch Ness Monster. Does it really exist? I don't know.
Right. It's one of those things where it's definitely an interesting conversation piece. But outside of that, it's like we'd have to see what happens. There's a lot that's riding on the table, especially more so on the marketing standpoint. And where certain IPs can be, and it's just a lot on the table. I'm interested in it and to see where everything plays out, though. So.
Yeah, me too. Real quick, Sith Lord has been a channel member for over 13 months. Thank you for the generosity, brother. He says here, Mortal Kombat 1 looks amazing. Too bad it wasn't Mortal Kombat versus KI as we were hoping for. Look, I want to say this. I'm still not giving out hope that Killer Instinct isn't going to be announced at their show. Now, what are the likelihoods on it, folks? From a fanboy, I have to see it in my lifetime. Is it going to happen?
Ed Boon's been hitting at it, man. He said he did say some time ago that Mortal Kombat wasn't the only thing he was working on.
Yeah, you know what? I want to pull up his quote because I don't have it. I'm going to paraphrase it. First of all, I'd say maybe about 2 years ago. Now, Ed Boon, he is a character. And yeah, he loves to tease. He loves to throw little digs out there. He loves people, you know, like looking at their stuff with a magnifying glass. He's mm-hmm. he's funny like that. And he had was interviewed and he was asked specifically about what he's working on next. Was it Injustice 3? We know that's been put off to the side. Was it Mortal Kombat, which we thought was going to be 12? We now know it's Mortal Kombat 1. And he said what he said to the person interviewing him was, what we're currently working on is not traditionally like we've worked on before. It's nothing like Mortal Kombat. And he says, you know what? I got to stop, because if I say anything more, I'm going to get in trouble. Now, I am going to say, again, as a fan of Killer Instinct, and I'm not just a fan, I am a freaking diehard fan. I played it in the arcades when it first launched, folks. Again, yes, I'm old, but I remember going to Nathan's in Yonkers on Central Avenue. They had, and I say Nathan's, the hot dog people. Yes, they had a small little hot dog thing, but they had a 200 cabinet attachment that just had pinball and arcades as far as the eye can see. My parents used to take us when we were kids. But when I was older and I was working at Funko Land, I'd leave work and I'd go to the arcades. And I remember the first time when I saw it, because I was always a big fighting fan, like even way back in the days from the first Street Fighter on Turbo Graphics, when it was just called Fighting Street. It wasn't even called Street Fighter. And I I remember hearing you, like when you walked in, the cabinet was so loud, Steel, that you like, where's that coming from? Where's that music coming from? And you hear the dun 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 dun, and like, and you see it, and you're like, I don't understand what my eyes are seeing. And sure enough, you know, there it is. Killer Instinct, all those years later, was made relevant again. And it's one of, for me personally, as many E3s as I've watched, I've only attended one. I jumped out of my chair when I heard the music in 2013. Like I said, 2013, you know, it wasn't the greatest year for Xbox, but my God, Steel, when they unveiled a new Killer Instinct, I just couldn't believe it. And it's a shame that as great as an IP as it is, as many talented developers there are in the world, I cannot figure out how they can find a team to make this game. It's crazy to me. It's like Banjo-Kazooie. How is it in 2023 that we don't have one? It's bonkers to me. Banjo-Kazooie exists in a Nintendo fighter, but doesn't exist on an Xbox platform. It's crazy. So, again, I'm still going to hold out because obviously Ed Boon and his team at NetherRealm Studios is large. Mm-hmm. They're incredibly talented, and I don't think it's out of the realm, no pun intended, to work on two different games. What are your thoughts on that, man?
I think they could do it. I mean, they've gotten so refined with Mortal Kombat at this point, especially with MK11. Again, MK11 is probably the most fun I've had a Mortal Kombat game in a long time, since about those Armageddon days, Shaolin Monk kind of days, just because of the dynamic of the fighting nature of the game and how they've evolved it. For me, I do think, just especially with them also had working on Injustice and knowing, at least from what I can remember, I don't think they're not making an Injustice 3 from what I know. I think 2 was their stopping point. So if they're not going to move forward, and if they're already, because Injustice and Mortal Kombat, yeah, they didn't release around the same time. They definitely had some year separation there, but those games were technically being worked on at the same time, quote unquote. So it wouldn't be too crazy to think that someone like an Ed Boon, who has stated that he would drop Mortal Kombat to create a Killer Instinct game.
Sure enough, to say that.
Which is crazy that this guy who was known for this game is like, hey, if I was given the opportunity, I would. To think that he may not be doing something in the background, right? Getting it together. The only unfortunate thing about Killer Instinct is that I don't think that it reached the critical mass that Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Tekken, even Soul Calibur has continued to kind of hold, right? Now, mind you, I'm not saying that the game was bad or anything else. I'm not a fan of Killer Instinct personally, but again, that's just me. And there is a good fan base out there who does love those Killer Instinct games. So if anything, if anybody's going to redo it and possibly even give me a chance to be interested in it again, if you put a name like Ed Boon behind a Killer Instinct, that's easily going to sell you millions of copies, right? Even if you just restricted the Game Pass, which I don't think that would end up happening, but even if you did, I think regardless, people would still want to buy the game, just because of that pedigree. There's something about people who, when they say things, and you could tell how passionate they are still within this gaming space.
That would be me.
That gets me excited. Right?
That would be me. I'm a big nerd, folks, and I don't care. Listen, I am who I am. Real quick, I got to thank Treybone 08, as always. He drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, everyone exists in this timeline. Scorpion, Sub-Zero right. are brothers now. And we also have another one that came the way of Jacob Novick, who dropped a $5 super chat and says, hey, hi, Boom and Steel and all. I want an Xbox to do a fighter with every mascot, Mortal Kombat-like game, gore and blood. I'm going to say this. The way that you can attach some of the greatest characters in Xbox history, and a lot that they have recently purchased, like Doom Guy and for and you know the Fallout Power.
In there.
Marcus, the groundwork could be Killer Instinct, and what you could do to unbelievable success is pull a Fortnite, license out a character to be in your fighting game. And you're not, you know, I mean, pay the license fee to have a Batman, to have, I mean, look, they just released Dead Space. The Dead Space character is now in Fortnite. You know, again, I understand that, you know, it's a brutal game. There are no fatalities like Mortal Kombat, but it is a brutal game. I don't know, man. I just think that for me personally, folks, there's a lot of money left on the table when you don't use the plethora of legendary IP that the Microsoft and Xbox currently own. You can turn around and, I mean, who does not want to see Master Chief versus Doom Guy and Killer Instinct? I mean, I think about the ramifications of just the word of mouth of that actually happening. You know, it would be crazy. You know what I'm saying? To pick your favorite character, they could remake Joanna Dark into a fighter. Could you imagine her, you know, in the game? It's these kind of small things that would really dominate the conversation. You know, and again, Microsoft owns so many iconic IP, Steel, that if they didn't want to spend the money to license out a character, they don't even have to. They have so many characters and so many IP just on who they currently own. Forget what they're going to get when they get Activision. Listen, I can talk about fighting games, specifically Killer Instinct, until the cows come home, but we only have 70 minutes. So we're already at the halfway mark, and I want to call time out because we really got to get into the interview from yesterday, folks. And, of course, we're talking about the CEO of 2K Games, known as Strauss Zelnick, and he, his company, and himself have been in Microsoft's corner since the announcement of the Activision Blizzard King acquisition that was announced last January. So we're now closing in on June, makes almost 18 months that we're still talking about this. We thought it would be done, and for the most part, you know, the EU So we have a total of 37 countries in total that have approved the deal. We're waiting on South Africa. We're waiting on South Korea. We're waiting on Canada. We're waiting on New Zealand and Australia and China. Those are the next ones. And from what we're understanding from, you know, rumors, right, they're all going to pass. The only two that have not passed as of yet is the CMA. And, of course, the FTC, which is going to either do one of two things. Either the Intercon is going to lose again because, again, and this was brought to my attention by many people I follow, like FOSS Patents and, of course, Post-Up and Hogue Law. I've gotten a lot smarter from following and reading what they had to say. And unlike the CMA, who can simply say, well, we think this might happen in 10 years. They might dominate cloud, so we're going to block. It's not like that for the FTC and the United States. The actual the FTC, in order to get an injunction to block this deal with a federal judge, is they have to provide evidence of harm, and they're not going to be able to do that. So I think it's in Lena Khan's and the FTC's best interest is take the deal and take the photo op and say, hey, we fought back against big tech, and we made Microsoft bend the knee, and we got all these concessions, and you don't get another L attached to your name and to the FTC, which is ultimately what's going to happen. So with all of that said, and again, I got to give credit where credit is due. You know how I feel about IGN. I do feel that they have become a giant cog of negativity for gaming, specifically for Xbox fans. But I did pull the story from them because they actually did the interview. And this comes the way of the reporter. It was written by Rebecca Valentine of IGN.com. And we have some very interesting quotes here, especially when Zelnick starts talking about cloud. Cloud is in its infancy, Steel. We understand mm-hmm. that you have to have a tremendous amount of attachment for the latency to be good. You're never mm-hmm. going to play a Twitch shooter on cloud. No. You're just not going to do that mm-hmm. because it's just not going to work. And we do know, Steel, that and this has been confirmed by Activision. It's been confirmed by Bobby Kotick, who is the CEO currently, not for much longer, but currently of Activision, that they never in the history of the company considered allowing any of their games to be streamed to cloud. It's something they were not going to do. This is a fact. This has been confirmed by numerous sources, including Bobby Kotick himself. Well, mm-hmm. Zelnick had this to say, and I quote, "I think it's important never to confuse a distribution technology with a business model. Yes. I would love to believe that streaming our titles would massively expand the marketplace. I'm not sure there's any reason to believe that." That is a powerful, powerful statement. And it's one that really does speak volume, to the whole cloud block from the CMA. He goes on to say the deal's completion or termination was not really material to his company. He goes on to say that he considers Microsoft a great partner, and if the deal is good for Microsoft, it's good for the industry, mm-hmm. which makes a lot of sense. I'm interested to get your hot take on it, because then we're going to move on to what the chancellor, and I pulled this story from another place that used to be something I respected. I don't respect Eurogamer anymore, but I am going to give them credit because I did pull the story from their website. But let's talk about Zelnick and his comments.
So for Strauss's comments to say that it's not a business model, it's just another form of delivering content. I mean, he's 1,000% right. And I think that's something that we've all been trying to say and have spoken to him in one facet or another, at least in my perspective, right? Cloud is not going to be, for some time, a definitive way to experience your games. It may be at some point for single player games, which is why I think it's an unfortunate it's unfortunate and a missed opportunity that Sony didn't jump in that bag earlier, because they kind of had to lean on it a little bit. But with Microsoft now leading that mantle, single player games are going to be the ones that get that attention before anything else. But like the numbers, like some of the numbers that have come out, if you only have 5,000 people that are playing on the cloud currently, it's way far from being a something that's acceptable enough for multitudes of people to play it. Another thing too with the cloud is that it's heavily dependent on infrastructure. I do see it working more and coming to fruition, or we'll get examples of what's possible from the East, for an example. So as we get more games from the Koreas and Japan, and as we get more games from the East, since they do have more of an infrastructure out that way, we'll get those examples of what is possible. But it's kind of the thing that we've been speaking to this whole time, where we see them use the reasoning that cloud is going to be the thing that we're the most worried about. Microsoft's going to monopolize, although it's the most unproven territory that is out there. And the fact that it is being separated out as if it is its own thing and has enough of a, let's say, tread for it to really start making its mark, to me it just speaks of disingenuous conversations happening behind the scenes. Yep. And you have spoken to this multiple times, and especially throughout this week, where some people might say, oh, well, you're just being a conspiracy theorist and putting all these different ideas out there. And it's just like, well, this is part of the reason why I coined the term educated consumer perspective, that ECP, because we're not in these boardroom meetings. We're not, I don't run these multi-million dollar companies. So no, I don't exactly know what's going on, but from an outside looking in, you're telling me that, hey, we have the opportunity to look at something, say, hey, how does it affect the consumer currently? And then possibly later on, if we find issues, we'll sit back down with this deal and say, all right, let's hash some things out, because hey, Microsoft, you're starting to look, you're not really fulfilling on your promises that you made to us. Where right now, it's like you're seeing the complete and utter opposite of what they are mentioning, right? Microsoft is continuously cutting deals for the cloud, trying to give more access. Just today, we got information about Gears 5 coming to GeForce Now, which again, multiplayer for Gears 5 on GeForce is going to be a little questionable, but GeForce is also one of the ones that is a better experience if you're looking to do it through streaming, right? And you could definitely do the campaign through streaming, no problem. But it does give access, more access to players who are otherwise may not be currently invested in the ecosystem, or maybe didn't even know about Gears like that, right? Because Gears is slept on, in my personal opinion. And the more places that you can continue to put your games out, will put your games in front of, the better off you're going to end up being. And again, that's Microsoft's whole strategy currently anyway. It isn't, of course they want to sell consoles, of course they want to sell software, but the biggest thing is getting more eyes in the ecosystem, more hands in the ecosystem to get you involved, and then you take a look in the Game Pass, then you take a look in these other games that you have available. Now you got a little bit of extra money in your pocket, so you spend a couple extra dollars here and there. That's what they're looking for now, right? Because they have to play the game differently. So just to see, you know, Strauss again, that Strauss is also someone who previously also stated that the gaming industry currently still has at least 20 years of growth. And for somebody that is in the industry, who works side by side with everybody, has a business and is successful, especially with something like GTA, then I have to take his word at his merit, right? He knows more than I probably ever will. He has more experience in that. That is his job. And if he feels like what Microsoft is doing isn't going to negatively impact, and I'm not saying that, oh, it's just his opinion that matters. It's literally all these other bodies that are actually saying the same exact thing. There has been very minimal pushback on the deal, or people say likewise that, oh, this is going to negatively affect the gaming industry outside of these governing bodies that Microsoft is trying to push through. They're the only people who are saying that this is an issue. But and again, of course you should look at $70 billion deals. Of course you want to make sure that people are doing the things right for the consumer. But at the same time, there's nothing preventing competition currently.
Yes.
So for the sake of conversation, this needs to be looked at. It is important for these key figures like Strauss to come out and talk about these things. But overall, man, it's just, there's a lot of fluff that's going on, a lot of pandering, I would say, that is also happening behind the scenes. And hopefully, because it would be extremely unfortunate if people are doing some colluding, if people are doing some backhanded things just for the sake of maybe their name, their pride, or just to try to get a dub. Or W or win, however you want to use the terminology. I know everybody doesn't use the same. whatever, if it's just that and that's what you're standing on, I think Lena Khan is definitely going to be in for the ride of her life come sometime soon after this deal. So,
well, I mean, look, to keep people updated specifically with the U.S. version of what's happening. The gamers' lawsuit is in the process of being thrown out. We know that they did get the injunction to block the deal, and the judge that's currently overseeing it, the federal judge that's overseeing it, has been very hard on the gamers' lawsuit complainants as well as their lawyers, because they have not been able to prove harm, which they can't. Everything that they have used to present this case federally are literally mirrors what Lena Khan and the FTC are trying to use against Microsoft, which says that if the gamers lawsuit is thrown out, there's a good chance and a very, very high, super high probability that Lena Khan is going to get her case thrown out as well. So again, speaking to people like Kay Asante and Everborn Saga, which we speak on a daily basis, we have come to an understanding that it and again, this is opinions, folks. It's not fact. It's opinions. For Lena Khan, considering her win-loss record is pretty bad, especially when you consider how many losses she has taken as the head of the FTC in the last 2 years. She's going to lose another big one again, because, you know, again, whether this is pride, whether this is, you know, her ideology of standing up to big tech, it seems like Microsoft, as much as they do good for the world, happens to just be the next one making a big deal and in her crosshairs. There's nothing illegal about this deal. Call of Duty is going to be here, there, and everywhere. There is literally everyone that has approved it has said that there's no console harm, regardless of what Jim Ryan and his lying self says to the world. The cloud thing has not been an issue. The EU did have an issue with it, and Microsoft sat down like two adults in a room. They came and they said, okay, this is what we're going to give you. The EU said, yeah, you know what? That's actually great, because right now it's not great, but since this deal is happening, it's going to make cloud even better. And they said that in their press statement when they announced it earlier in the week. So I really don't think the CMA has anything at a leg to stand on. But I do want to pull up, because obviously I'm all about context, and I'm all about evidence, and I'm all about having quotes that matter. And I pulled a story from, of course, Eurogamer.com. It was written by Tom Phillips, who is the editor-in-chief there. And the lead story title says, Chancellor says UK regulators must understand wider responsibilities after the Microsoft-Activision deal block. And his name is Mr. Hunt. He calls upon the CMA to promote economic growth within the UK. And there's a couple of really, really finite points that I want to run past you.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he says this: I think one of the reasons companies like Microsoft and Google want to invest in the UK is because we have independent regulators that are not controlled by politicians, and therefore they can be confident that there will be a level playing field. So now we're starting to get into the weeds, because there's not a level playing field. He goes on to say, I would not want to undermine that at all. But I do think it's important. It's important all of our regulators understand the wider responsibilities for economic growth. Let's get your hot take on what he had to say.
As far as that, just like that piece of the pie right there. I mean, it won't have an effect on the economic growth or anything. Again, like, that's what's so up in the air for me about this. I wouldn't necessarily say up in the air, because it's not necessarily that. But what just makes this whole situation so strange to me, although I do get it from we just want to help with regulation or whatnot. And from what we're seeing, it seemingly, you know, if you're saying that, we have more of an independent economy and whatnot, it's starting to seem like, or it is coming across like,
yeah,
you guys might have some bigger issues that you need to address within your own country first before you're worried about what Microsoft is doing over here. What kind of businesses are coming in? It's seeming like it may be a little bit more convoluted behind the scenes, and people like to lead on, right? That people are in pocket maybe with one another, and
that's where the corruption comes into the conversation. Yep. And you know something, I don't say that lightly, folks. You understand that I when I do these shows, I cross every T and I dot every I. Now, sometimes I make mistakes, and when I do, I'm the first one to come out in front of the camera and say, yeah, folks, I got it wrong. I apologize. I didn't do the homework. Steele will tell you, anyone that works with me will tell you that I do the work. I work on this show 7 days a week, folks. I live stream 5 days a week, but I work on the show 7 days a week. I don't take breaks. And when I say corruption and I say collusion, I bring the evidence. And I can tell you right now, it does not look good that Amazon Luna became available in the same time frame as the block. And then you hear in the document, the CMA actually says, hey, Microsoft doesn't have a thumbprint in a mobile. And, you know, with Amazon and Google and Apple having all of these, like, for instance, when they were talking about mobile and they said, hey, listen, we're going to block because Microsoft doesn't really have a shot in mobile because Apple and Google have the duopoly. The fact that that's in the documents, the fact that they said that is very questionable. So let's bring it back to Amazon, right? They blocked for cloud. Thanks to Jez Corden, we know that 5,000 people, 5K, play on cloud through the use of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. In the same time frame, Steel, Luna launches into the UK for the first time, and they have instant access. 18 million people have instant access because it's a part of their subscription through Prime for their cloud gaming service. I'm just saying that when you put these things out there, it just doesn't smell right. It doesn't pass the smell test, as the kids like to say.
Yeah, no, and far from this entire situation doesn't necessarily pass the smell test. Again, I mean, of course, you want them to regulate and look at these big dollar deals, especially when it's the biggest that this industry has ever seen on the gaming standpoint and in the history of Microsoft business. But at the end, like at the end of the day, like the facts are the facts, and the information that is provided to you or lack thereof tells you the complete story. To me, this comes across, and again, just use that educated consumer perspective. To me, it just comes across as if though these people don't know what's really going on, and people can say, oh, well, it's crazy to think that they don't have this information and they're not doing their job correctly. That's what these people are paid to do. But then you hear the type of information that comes out and you're like, well, I don't know. And why are things suspiciously playing in favor to one side where this one side is has always had the advantage in this space? And then when somebody else is trying to come in who has the ability, okay, that's the other key thing about this, right? Who has the ability to buy an Activision or Blizzard, to spend $70 with the $70 billion within this industry, how all of a sudden that, oh, well, they're going to be the monopoly overnight after they pass this deal just because of Call of Duty. Like, that was the thing that they were riding a lot of this on. And then now you're passing it off and saying, oh, well, it has to be the cloud reasoning for why we can't let this go through, or why we predict that this is going to be an issue. It's just, it reeks to me of misinformation. It reeks to me as there is something going on, something else going on behind the scenes. And again, if people want to consider me a conspiracy theorist because of that, then hey, if I mean, more power to you, but I'm part of the conversation. The beautiful thing about the educated consumer perspective is that because I don't work in Parliament, because I don't work in the government, because I don't work for Microsoft or any of these other companies, at least not currently, I can talk about these things freely, and I can make assumptions, I can draw conclusions for the sake of having a conversation about the gaming industry. Because a lot of people don't understand it, and they prove that time and time and time again. So, yeah, man, it's just it reeks of a lot of nonsense, and hopefully we get some clarification on this. Again, I mean, I'm not saying that one side is right versus the other side, but what I do expect is there to be literal and fact-proven information that I can use and say, all right, well, if it does get blocked for whatever reason, I can say, all right, well, these are the reasons why that happened that way, versus, I don't know, it seemed really strange to me, right? So.
I have a tweet here from Simon Jack, who is the BBC business editor. He had on Twitter. He wrote again, this comes from Jeremy Hunt, who is, of course, the Chancellor of the UK. He says, I wouldn't want to interfere with their independence, meaning the CMA, but they need need to understand their wider responsibility. So I want to take this back a little bit, Steele, and I want to, because I'm all about context, folks. I want to bring up Brad Smith, obviously president of Microsoft. He says this: the CMA's decision was probably the darkest day in our four decades in Britain. But what he goes on to say falls directly in line with Satya Nadella's comments before this announcement, before the EU confirmation of passing, where Satya Nadella said, when asked, would you ever consider, is there a world where you would ever consider selling in the EU, selling your product in the United States, but not selling in the UK? And Satya Nadella simply said, we'll see what happens. We'll let this play out.
Yeah, see what happens.
That's a powerful statement from the leader of Microsoft. But Brad Smith had to say this, folks. There's a clear message here. The European Union is a more attractive place to start a business than the United Kingdom. English Channel has never seemed wider. That's putting the UK on blast, in my opinion. I don't know what else we can say. I think that there is a significant amount of... we have to understand here, Steele, that the Prime Minister is involved, the Chancellor is involved, Parliament is involved, and this is something that normally you wouldn't see, right? Like, normally the CMA blocks, and it just goes to CAT and gets sent back to the CMA business as usual, and it gets blocked again, right? But you have large portions of influential government now involved in this. And again, they're not trying to do favors for Microsoft, but there is literally nothing illegal about this deal unless it's coming from the CMA, who maybe had some money put in their pocket or some collusion. And I'm sorry to say, maybe I sound like a D-bag saying that, but that's what it looks like. Because it's, again, a lot of the things that are happening just don't make a whole lot of sense. And I think ultimately, they have painted themselves, the CMA has painted themselves into a corner where I don't know if I sound like a boo by saying this, because you hear different things from Pachter, and you don't always trust what he says. But if they can carve out, if the CMA doesn't buckle and say, okay, you know what, we're going to take up on the regulations, we're going to take the remedies, and we're going to pass the deal, or it goes to CAT, which is the tribunal. And CAT, again, remember, I know that no one's ever beaten the CMA. I know that CAT's never overturned it, but you can't say never forever. Eventually, it's going to happen. I think this is the deal that actually we can say the CMA lost, because they are irrational. Their findings originally with the console market harm was wrong. They were proven wrong. They were embarrassed publicly, and they had to tuck their tail between their legs and then go and resubmit their opinion. And when they pulled the LCS from console, they used a very half-cocked cloud-based complaint to gum up the deal. And even now, those numbers don't make sense, especially when you look at something like Amazon Luna, that instantly had 18 million consumers available for cloud.
Yeah, there's so many things that are just backhanded things, and then also the other thing that we've heard too. And I forgot the exact point that I was going to make, and take that. That's unfortunate, because it was an excellent point. I'll read a chat in the comments. Everybody's making some good points in there too. Oh, yeah, that's the thing. The other thing, too, there is the rumor that they were possibly considering that the Game Pass subs were the cloud numbers. And it's like, obviously, you guys aren't paying attention or don't know what's going on, because that's not how that works. And that speaks more so to Strauss's point. That's just an addition to you being part of the Xbox ecosystem. It's not a platform on its own. It's an addition. It's another point of access.
Yes.
And for you to say that, it's its own thing, and you got all these people playing it, and that's how people are playing games, it's like, well, you don't know what you're talking about then.
Right.
So it's, again, for the points that you're the points that you have made, and the things that I've added on, I feel like it's hitting home runs for the conversations that we've kind of had since this deal has started, right? Over the last year, and a lot of people are tired of hearing about it. A lot of people tired of talking about it, and some, have kind of completely removed themselves from the situation. But it's a reality. It is a reality that currently we're going through a situation where Microsoft has the possibility to demonstrate how deals are going to get looked at moving forward, or how deals are going to be looked at for Microsoft going forward in particular. So, and again, and I saw some people mentioning that, it's crazy to see people capping for all the for these trillion-dollar companies and calling them underdogs and all these other great things. And it's just like, technically speaking, Xbox is the underdog in comparison to PlayStation,
yep.
which is, and I get why people say, oh, you can't consider them that. It's just bad management and they can't get it together. I mean, guys, like Microsoft didn't consider Xbox as something of theirs directly or something yep. that they need to put effort into or consider a pillar until 2017. And so Phil made sure it was a pillar. Other than that, it was just a game. It was a gaming division that was either going to be successful or it wasn't. After the 360 generation, especially after the Xbox One generation, they could have easily said, close shop and said, isn't working.
Yeah.
We'll just keep doing services. We'll just keep making games. Cause we were already making games before on PC more so, but there's been so many opportunities that have jumped into this because of Xbox being an underdog giving. And the reason I say that they're underdogs because PlayStation is the number one brand identified platform for gaming today, outside of Nintendo, because Nintendo doesn't count because everybody excludes Nintendo, not just the governing bodies, but we do the exact same thing. Tears of the Kingdom is an easy example of why Nintendo is considered different. Nothing against the game or anything like that, but it is a prime example. There is exceptions that are made for them. So it's hard to consider them as part of the conversation or say, oh, well, they're a direct competitor, because obviously they're appealing to a much wider audience
yeah.
than PlayStation or Xbox could even imagine to. Apparently, they have IP and dev talent that speak for themselves in a different matter, right? Whereas PlayStation and Xbox are direct competitors with each other, and Xbox will continue to be the underdog until they prove that they can do what Sony is doing or better. And what I mean by that is just making great games. And I know people say, well, Phil says he doesn't think great games are just going to change everything.
That's because people are small-minded, because that's not exactly what he meant, and we all know that.
People can draw their own conclusions about things, but it's just you have to look at the situation for what it is, not for what you want it to be, right?
Yep. I mean, listen, great points. I do want to touch on Grand Theft Auto for a hot second before we get on out of here. We got another 10 minutes or so, if you don't mind, Steele. Yeah. I do want to catch up on the Super Chats. We have a $5 Super Chat from Jacob Novick, who says, have y'all talked about the Gears 5 being available on NVIDIA now and Deathloop Grounded and Pentiment later with Microsoft Store releasing on NVIDIA later? Yeah, well, Steele had made mention about. I didn't even know that was actually happening. Yeah. I was preparing for the show, and you do these shows a day in advance, and I literally had to change the show on the fly because of Mortal Kombat today. So I actually, but thank you. I'm going to check that out. And you know what? Again, NVIDIA, one of the best cloud places, were very upset with the CMA, and they came to Microsoft's aid and put out a bunch of press from NVIDIA, and a lot of them, Boosteroid did as well. And when, of course, the EU passed, they were cheering, because obviously what the CMA ultimately did is kill their business, because they were offered this 10-year contract to have games in their cloud streaming service that they've never had before, which included Call of Duty, which included all of Xbox exactly. games as well. And again, maybe I'm a boob, but I thought the CMA was supposed to protect consumers and not ideologies and falsities. And instead of protecting the consumers, they blocked the deal on complete BS, as we have just went over.
It's hard to protect the consumer about something that you don't even understand yourself.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know what the CMA should be concerned with? Why it's $12 for a carton of eggs in the UK.
I mean,
just saying, you know, if you really want to dig your heels in protecting the consumer, you know, that's what you go for. You don't go for a video game deal that's not going to hurt anyone, that's going to bring more business than ever. But, you know, hey, listen, they blocked, and I think they're going to have to walk it back at some point, because government is going to get involved. And I don't care what anyone says, even if you are an attorney, just because the CMA never lost doesn't mean they're never going to win. They're always going to win. And this is one of those situations where I think they're going to lose, and it's going to be ugly. But we'll see. James Thomas drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, cloud isn't a market. It's just another distribution method, just another way to access content. Indeed, it is. And that's one of the problems with CMA's ideology. They try to make it a separate market, and it is not a separate market, like Steele literally just said. Highlander 001 drops a very generous $10 super chat and says, right now, Microsoft is the talk of Parliament. Parliament is talking about a new computer system for their medical system, and the MP, or the Prime Minister, I think he meant, said we can't go to Microsoft with the CMA stopping the deal. And this is the ramifications that the Chancellor said. They are widespread, not just narrow through a keyhole, as the CMA is looking. Instead of the CMA looking through a keyhole and being so small-minded, they should probably open the door and look at the bigger picture of what this deal is for Microsoft, and blocking it is going to do for the UK ultimately. It's going to hurt their consumers, and they are there to protect consumers. So this is why I'm glad that the Prime Minister and the Chancellor and Parliament are involved, because this cannot be left to pass. If everyone else in the world passes, and Lena Khan is going to turn her back on them, you're going to see very quickly how she's not answering the door. You know, she's going to hide in the corner, and when they're ringing the door, but Lena, we're coming over, and she's not going to answer the door. That's because she knows she's going to lose, and she's going to have to take the photo op. And ultimately, when that happens, they're on an island all by themselves, and 18 out of the 19 regions pass, and they don't. It like I said, this whole thing stinks. It just stinks. Highlander 001 drops an additional $5 super chat and says, the Deputy Minister of Finance said in Parliament that companies are changing plans and moving to Spain, France, and Belgium, mm-hmm. and bypassing the UK. I did not see that, dude.
There's a lot that is happening behind us. It's the same thing with our country, where there's so many different things happening behind the scenes that we're unaware of. But it's the same thing over there. But there are so many things that they need to be fighting for, or like focused on, versus trying to get a W off of this.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not in the UK. Obviously, I'm not in the UK. But I know that there is currently an election. It is election time. And I think a lot of people that are looking to get into Parliament are going to take this and run with it, which I hate politics, folks. Politics is so filthy. I don't care where you're from. Always. If you're from America, it's even worse. It's just politicians are gross. Look at the guy that lied. That put this whole resume of who he was, and it's a lie. He's still in office. Are you for real? That is crazy to me. So government is it's disgusting. I freaking hate it. But thank you for the super chat. And thank you for the hot information. We have Fantas Archer. First of all, brother, thank you for all the generosity, especially everyone that continues to donate. Like I said, we're going to be doing some bigger giveaways. The big one of the year, folks, if you didn't know, it's my wife and I, in order to support the team that is developing Stalker 2, right? We know that they were displaced due to the Ukrainian war. And we know that they lost some family. They lost some friends of the dev team who stayed behind and died in the line of duty. My wife and I want to do something big. We're a small channel, folks. We have no corporate sponsors, nothing like that. I don't think we ever will. And I don't know if I would even take it, to be honest with you. But we do are very, very blessed that we have so many people that donate through channel membership and through Super Chats. Mm-hmm. Well, we wanted to do something big. And when Stalker 2 is released, my wife and I, we've been putting away the Super Chats. And you know, Google takes their 30%. So whatever's missing, we're going to pull out of our house fund to make sure this gets done. We're buying 15 copies of Stalker 2 at full price, $76.43 here in New York, and we're going to give them away. Your choice of platform, PC or Xbox. And we know that the team that is making the game is going to get 70% of that money. We know 30% goes to Microsoft, and it's our way of trying to make sure that the families are taken care of. Again, it's only 15 copies, but when you do the math, It's a significant amount of money. So it's about $1,500, give or take. And we couldn't do that because I'm a retired guy and my pension is great, but it has a ceiling. And that's what we've been doing with the Super Chats. We've been putting it away. And that's why we haven't done so many giveaways. We're going to do the big Christmas one. We're going to do the big one for the birthdays. For me, the birthday bash that we do every year, where we celebrate my birthday, but we give usually like $500 in gift cards, each one for me and Mrs. Boom. And yeah, we're just waiting on the Stalker 2 announcement. And of course, once that's announced, folks, we will do a live stream and give those copies away live on the air. So thank you again for all the Super Chats. Again, Fantas Archer drops a very generous $5 Super Chat and says, I wish that point about Amazon Luna service was brought up with Parliament towards the CMA just to have them explain it. Yeah, me too. I don't understand how that's not a part of the conversation, because, again, it's part of a service. But if you're going to use the same logic for Microsoft, mm-hmm, you kind of got to mention Amazon Luna. I'm just saying, it seems common sense.
You got to involve everybody who's part of the cloud space.
Huh? Yeah, it's just not there, dude. Paul Drew, who's been a channel member for 6 months. Paul, brother, thank you so much for the generosity. And more importantly, thank you for being here. He drops a $5 Super Chat, or £5 Super Chat, and says, as someone who's from the UK, I'm embarrassed beyond belief that the CMA, at the CMA, but they'll end up with egg on their face. Keep up the incredible content. Boom, you rock. Ah, dude, thank you so much for the very, very kind words. I super appreciate it. Jacob Novick drops an additional $2 Super Chat and says, Persona 3 remake rumored for the Xbox show. Yes, that was dropped by Idle Sloth. Now, folks, I have said publicly that Idle Sloth is a real person, but the way that he's been dropping nuggets the last couple of like 48 hours,
gotta be a robot.
I'm starting to think that dude is AI, bro. Like, honestly, he is too good for his own good. Follow that man, Idle Sloth. I love you, brother. Thank you for always keeping the community abreast with the hot take information. And we have another Super Chat of $2 from corrected me. Thank you for the correction, Highlander. He says MP is the member of Parliament. I didn't even know that, so thank you so much for that. I super appreciate it. But real quick, Steele, during this Strauss-Zelnick interview, we know that Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to be coming in the next 12 months. Now, whether that's the start of 2024 or that falls into the 2024-2025 time frame, we're not exactly sure, because he didn't specifically break it down. But I have been saying, and again, it's not like a broken record. I remember when Peter Moore came on stage. I mean, forget his Halo antics. But when he had the Grand Theft Auto tattoo on his arm, the internet wasn't even that popular back then. He broke the world when he did that, because this is Xbox, right? Who is this Xbox to have Grand Theft Auto as an exclusive? And it was exclusive for a little bit. I think it was like 6 months or whatever it was. But I just think, in an era where it has been confirmed, especially in the UK, Microsoft is being outsold. PS5 is 4-1. Right? Mm-hmm. They're closer here in the States. This is where they do their best. We know Brazil has a huge market for Xbox, no doubt about that. There's several regions that do well with Xbox. But I can see Microsoft staying away from Marvel. I can see Microsoft staying away from Star Wars. These are legendary IPs that have a significant dollar sign next to them. But I kind of wonder, is there a world, Steele, where we have Microsoft, saying, we're gonna hold the pennies in the cupboards, and we're just gonna go get one. We're not gonna get Tekken. We're not gonna get Street Fighter. We're not gonna get Mortal Kombat. We're not gonna get Knights of the Old Republic remake. We're not gonna get Hogwarts. I mean, the list of marketing deals for Sony or just is as long as, and I'm 6 feet as tall as I am. I mean, you also got the rumor of Castlevania, Silent Hill, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater remake. These are all marketed, heavily marketed, and those three games may even be exclusive, right? So if you're Microsoft, well, who the frick do you get, right? Who do you market with? Because obviously their first party games are going to do the talking for them this year, but could you imagine, folks, you're watching the E3 show, You're like me, because I'm going to have a post show, because I want to watch it like a fan. I want to sit on my couch with the popcorn and enjoy it and then take notes and then show up with a monster panel. Could you imagine Microsoft shows Fable and Avowed? We get a release date for Motorsport, mm-hmm. and then the Starfield show just rocks. And in that Microsoft show, they show full-on gameplay from Hellblade. It says Holiday 2023. And they get, listen, we got one more for you. Right, we got one more for you. And the lights go black, opens up. There he is. Strauss Zelnick is on stage, who's a good friend to Phil Spencer and a great partner to Microsoft. And he says, listen, folks, I know you've been wondering what's been going on with Grand Theft Auto 6. Well, today I'm going to show you a quick trailer. The internet will break open, folks, like a pinata. And yeah. I think that, even though it's the one, it's the one steal.
Yeah, it's definitely a perspective. Real quick, Boom, because Drawn TJ said there was some super chats of his that we might have missed.
Okay, let me see. Let me. You know what? I'll pull it up on my end. Let me pull it up. Hold on. I'll go to YouTube and I'll pull it.
I'll go ahead. For me, we talked about this a little bit behind the scenes, but I was mentioning that as great as that would be for Microsoft to get that one more thing and it be a GTA 6, again, an IP that over the last decade has sold, I think we crunched some numbers. I did some numbers with Paul, and I think he did it.
It's actually astounding.
I think they, on average, I believe they're right around $7 billion that they've made off of that one game alone. And that's not considering, development costs or anything else, but I would have to put some accuracy behind that, especially if rumors are true that they're spending about $1 to $2 billion creating GTA 6, which is going to be insanity because they'll be able to go down in history as the most expensive game ever made.
Correct.
Now, again, because of GTA success isn't because of GTA 5 by itself. It's because of GTA Online.
Yeah.
And I'll also have to put in part of the conversation that they have sold. Those number of copies are sold. They're also a little bit inflated because they staged it in such a way where it was just like, hey, you buy these shark cards, you get the game. Hey, don't worry about it. And they've done that over the years too, to kind of finagle their way into people's pockets. But again, that's what you're supposed to do. If it's working from a business standpoint, I guess I see why not. Now, I don't necessarily agree with everything, and I'm not as I have put my own personal time in the GTA, and as much as I enjoyed everything that I got from it, I don't personally think that Take-Two or GTA itself at this point needs to take a bag from anybody, right?
They really don't, to be honest with you. You make a fantastic point, Steel.
I mean, now, again, nobody's going to shy away from some money, right? But if you're talking about, like, if anybody's going to try to bring it into the conversation, like maybe exclusivity, that's completely out of the conversation. But if you're just talking about, hey, I just want to put your characters on my box or anything like that, there could be a high possibility in that. But the main negative,
that's hundreds point, of millions of
yeah
dollars.
I don't think that price point would be worth it and right now you would have to give GTA or you would have to give Take-Two whatever amount of money that they asked for, and I think it would be an astronomical number. And I also believe, like, if PlayStation ends up cutting that deal to make that happen, they're riding a lot on the success of GTA 6. Again, not saying that it won't be, because GTA 6 is not going to come out without online, right? I predicted coming out in the same nature, hopefully better this time around, where we don't have that month period of, oh, here's a month where you get to play the single player. Okay, a month later, now you can play the online, yeah. But it's still broke. For about 2 weeks, you're going to have a really difficult time just trying to even log in. You're going to look at the clouds for some time. Look at these pretty clouds that we put in this game. those are the thoughts that I remember having, especially during the 360 generation going into the Xbox One. It was just like, Lord, what are we doing here? But nonetheless, for me personally, I just think trying to cut that type of marketing deal for that game because of what GTA has been able to accomplish would just be unnecessary. And there's other places, like people talk about the $70 billion deal and how they want this to stop so that Microsoft could put their monies in other places. This is kind of the same methodology that I have towards you cutting a marketing deal for GTA specifically, when those hundreds of millions of dollars that you possibly could spend on that could be spent elsewhere, getting those exclusive titles. Like, there's no reason why, for an example, you missed out on a Stellar Blade, right? There should have been a deal that's cut for that. This is something.
I got actually a really good one. Kind of steal. I got a good one. Tell me what you think. Now, this is not a topic for today because obviously I have to. There's only so much time, but right. Embracer Group lost 20% in the last 2 days. Yep. Right. That's tremendous. Mm-hmm. That's, again, think they about have this for a lot second.
Of IP.
20% of your company's income gone in 2 days. That is, it's unparalleled. So now I'm going to counter myself. I'm going to counterpoint my own self here. If I'm Microsoft and I say it's going to cost us $500 million to get GTA marketing. Which is a drop in a hat for Microsoft, but it's still $500 million.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah.
Right? They turn around and they go to Embracer and say, look, we have two of your studios in Eidos Montreal working on Fable. We have Crystal Dynamics on Perfect Dark. How about we invest that $500 million we buy these studios, but we want the Tomb Raider IP as well. And they go, and Embracer goes, well, wait a second, let me see. We paid $300 million for all of these 50 IPs and these two studios, and we're going to almost double up our money. That's probably a better investment. If I'm Microsoft, that's what I go for.
Microsoft would drop off a bag for $1 billion, and that would be more than enough to pay them off and then some.
I mean, listen, you can pick and choose. I mean, I would love to see, Deus Ex become first party. Legacy of Kain would be an IP that I would grab immediately. For me, as an OG steal. Mm-hmm. I think Lara Croft and Tomb Raider is such a legendary IP, and if you can get that IP from Embracer and you double up, even like you said, even drop $1 billion off, say, listen, we will take all of this from you. They will have then three times their money made it back, right? I don't know. To me, it's a no-brainer, but so was the CMA passing the ABK deal, and look what happened. So there's that. Right.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, definitely reaching in there would be ideal. Again, there's such a missed opportunity for Lara Croft not to be on the front of an Xbox, at least the boxing, right, part of it, because she is an iconic character, and the fact that she doesn't necessarily have a home, quote unquote, is super unfortunate, because I thought that that's what their goal was, back some time ago when they got the smoke for even having the timed exclusivity, right? So it's just, there's so many different ways that I would love this to play out. And the most important thing that I do want Microsoft to do, or Xbox to do, is to really hone in on what's going to not only expand their ecosystem, but also get people constantly talking about it. Because that's the main thing that your competitor has over you. They have recognizable IP that people are like, oh yeah, look at this game, it looks great. Where on this side of things, yeah, you got a plethora of games, you got Game Pass, you got value, all these other things. But obviously brand power outweighs that at this point. And like Phil mentioned, until we get those games in your hands and y'all are smiling, it's not going to matter what I do or say. And that's kind of the point that I think that a lot of us are at. And that's kind of the point that I'm at now, too. Although I do tend to take more of that RTS approach, pulling myself back from out of the world and whatnot. I do still recognize that Microsoft does need to make sure that their consumer, especially on the console side, understands that they have a 100% commitment to them, that they are a valued consumer, that, you know, we're going to get better. You're going to get better quality games. Again, I say I have to put quality in quotes, because just because you think something is quality on one side and X amount of people say that it's quality, X amount of people also said that Redfall is a bad game. But there are people like Boom, for an example, who enjoyed it. And there's other people outside of you. I've seen hundreds of people who have said they felt like it was a decent game that has potential. Again, it's all about perspective, but you need more of that positivity, more of that, I would say, content that really drives conversation in a positive way, instead of this these backhanded conversations that we end up having to have. So,
wow, listen, I mean, great stuff as always. Thank you for hanging out a few minutes more. Absolutely. I have a super chat. I found the super chats that I missed, folks, and if there's one that just completely blows my mind, I cannot believe it. We had Jeron TJ said this after dropping a $5 super chat. If I'm Phil, I go get GTA in Game Pass day one forever. Pay the $2 billion. I just think they're gonna make so much money that you would just they would 2K would lose money having this in the streaming service. And I actually think Steel is onto something.
That'd be the end of Microsoft if that happened.
I don't think they need anyone's money. They're gonna make so much money. Listen, GTA 5 is the highest selling game in the history of gaming. GTA 6 is gonna be right there with it. It's crazy. He dropped another $5 super chat and says, "I say buy Take Two and WB and be done with publishers." Both of the WB one is questionable, because I don't know if they want to give up the IP. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. And why buy if you're not going to get the DC? You know what I'm saying? What would be the point? Buck in the chat drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, "The premium GeForce Now tier definitely can handle first-person shooters. It runs on a 4080. I did not know that. He says, "Issue for NVIDIA and other cloud providers are the lack of games."
Now, their problem is latency. Games matters too, but latency is above all else. There's no worse feeling than you starting up a game, and when you put an input, especially on the joystick, your character moves a second to 2 seconds later. It's not a good feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't play that way. Jeron TJ, thank you again for the $2 super chat where he told us about the missed ones. I apologize for that. Dakato in the chat, folks. I don't even understand. This is crazy. I don't do this for money, folks, but this is what we do. We'll take this and we'll put it into the pot. Dakato drops a $100 super chat. That is mind blowing. He says, "Someone say stalker." Thank you, brother. I truly appreciate it. I don't even think I have the correct words for the generosity that has been displayed, not only by yourself, but by everyone. That $100 is just bonkers. And yes, we will, in fact, use it for the fund that we're putting away currently. Which, again, this is what my wife and I, when we made this channel, it was built on the ideology community first. And we were always going to continue to give back. And sometimes, you know, we took stuff from our savings to, finish a promise. When we do the big giveaways for the holiday this year, we gave $1,000 away. I don't think any channel's ever done that, at least not that I'm aware of. That's not corporate sponsorships, folks. That is straight up. Some of it was our money. But again, I'm not saying that because I want extra money. I'm saying it because we made a promise and we were going to deliver on that promise. And we can do that thanks to the generosity. And of course, we have Para Singh, T82 Green in the chat. First of all, welcome to the program and thank you for the generosity. They drop a £5 super chat and says the UK government is about to perform a fatality on the CMA. Great show, Boom, and love your input, Steel, as always. 2023 is about to pop off. Let's go. Indeed, I think everyone is going to win this year. So many great games. And like I said, Sony show on the 24th, Microsoft show on the 11th of June. You have a Nintendo one. I think it's coming in September. It's not going to be part of E3, but, you know, Nintendo is going to be Nintendo. But Steel, brother, listen, thank you so much for spending 90 minutes with me. I super appreciate you being here today and just obviously doing what you always do, your community forward facing. You have an amazing Saturday morning podcast called Living Split Screen with our brother Pong Soul. Talk about it, brother. You guys are a did you guys hit 1,000 yet?
No, not at 1K yet, man. We're on the road. Again, when you're doing it the way that we do it, again, we typically only have that one show that we do every Saturday. Mm. And again, it's all about the grind. When we get there, we get there. My biggest thing is that we build a community based off of people who genuinely love and care about what we do and talk about. Because again, yeah, we do a 4-hour show every Saturday morning. It's non-console centric. We cover many different topics. Like this past week, we didn't just keep it to the news that happened. And typically, that's what ends up happening anyway. Is that we mix a lot of gaming conversation and some personal conversation, but mostly different parts of gaming, whether it be the games that we're playing, the games that are coming up, the This Day in Gaming segment that we do, where we cover the games that came out that day, going 30 years back in history. We try to cover every aspect, and again, we're doing it as organic as possible. It's all about the work put in, and you know, nonetheless, when you only do one show a week, I'm not expecting the moon. You know what I mean? And I've been working on shorts and things in the background too. But it's life, man. When you're busy, it prevents you from doing content, and then you gotta get out there in front of the people. So
yeah.
But yeah, like Boom mentioned, I mean, guys, if you want to check out Living Split Screen, please do. We're over 800, I know for sure. We're on that road to 1K. I'm still going to shoot for 3K this year. It's a big, big number to reach for. But again, I do feel like we got some things working on the horizon in the back end, and I think it's going to make some really huge jumps between me and Pong and some other things that are going on. So I think things may change, but nonetheless, hey, it's all about, you know, supporting the community, having these open-ended conversations. And again, I do this the same reason you do it, Boom. Because I enjoy it. I love talking to the people. Yeah, I would love to get paid for it, but that's not the reason I do it. So,
yeah, well, listen, folks, look, there's still almost 500 people here. Steele, I would ask that you drop the link for your YouTube channel into the chat. And folks, look, I don't ask for myself. I would never will, because that's how I'm prideful. I'd rather give than take 10 out of 10 times. And when I suggest a channel, when I take the time to say, hey, listen, if you trust me, and I think that if you come back every day and every week, because I stream 5 days a week, you do trust me. And I'm here to tell you that the passion, the commitment, the soul that goes into Living Split Screen every Saturday at 10 a.m. is worth your time. And I would ask that you would help Steele and Pong Soul get to that 1K, because like I said, if you're not a content creator, you don't understand the validation that comes with hitting 1K and then 2K and then 5K and then 10K. And then you start to see, you know, it makes doing the content, even though we do it for the love of the game, we do it for the love of the community. It is important to know that it's a triumph when you hit these personal goals of becoming a partner with YouTube. And you can do that today by subbing the channel. If you're not already subbed, I ask you, as your friend, to get out there and sub. Take the time to listen to Pong, listen to Steele, and I guarantee you, you're going to add it to your weekly list of podcasts. Now, real quick before I roll credits, Treybone408 drops a very generous additional $5 super chat and says, I want to do a Mortal Kombat 11 King of the Ring. Anyone that wants to join, hit me up. This is my gamer tag. So his gamer tag is Treybone408 underscore. And he says, just some fun, not too serious. Would love the community to join. Thank you so much for that, brother. And yes, reach out to Treybone408 on Xbox, 408 underscore on Xbox, and get down with that. And of course, we had another big super chat come in from a good, generous friend of the program. JD Gamer drops a $50 super chat. Oh my God. He says, there are two things that will absolutely destroy Sony no matter what they show at their showcase. Number one is a Spider-Man killer, and that's an exclusive Superman game from Rockstar, which would be dope. And two, exclusive GTA content for an unknown period. 3 billion says exclusive. I mean, I would love that. I'd love to be like, yeah, it's exclusive, but they would lose so much money. I don't know how much billions they'd have to offer, but it would be, it'd be a lot of billions. But ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for the generosity. Thank you for supporting Double Barrel Gaming. And of course, hopefully you're supporting Steel Rain on Living Split Screen. And of course, with Pong Soul, I want to say something that's incredibly important to me, folks. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught me with kids. Very simply, he used to say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. We'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Vlog Live.